We say good morning to Jackson Mayor Derek Dobies, who joins us just about every Wednesday here. Derek, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Greg. Doing well. All the days start to blend together, but I figure that's how most people feel most days.
Boy, they really do. No question about that. Of course, you can go to the city's website for coronavirus. Virus. I can't even say it anymore. coronavirus update. All the information here locally contained on the city's website, and I'm sure you update that frequently, Derek.
Yeah, we've been working with our emergency operations team to get as much information coming out of both the healthcare industry and the public health professionals here in Jackson County to try to glean as much information that's going to be pertinent for the citizens and residents and businesses that we have here in town. And, you know, we've been also, as you know, working to coordinate as much of the response efforts through not only our mass care annex, working with Zoe Lyons, and but also with the JCAN, which is our kind of conglomerate of 35-plus different civic leaders, nonprofits, governmental agencies that are working to figure out what our response can look like in terms of food, shelter, other basic needs that people need, especially in this time of such economic strife because of the coronavirus mitigation strategies that have been put into place that are, you know, causing some pain for families beyond just the agitation and frustration that the social distancing causes and the stay-at-home order causes, but, you know, real economic hardship that, you know, we typically see on a every day in the city, in a city where we have one in three living in poverty, but it's just much more palpable in light of the coronavirus.
Yeah, and every day it obviously financially it gets worse for people every day. Do you see us trickling back into the workforce, Derek?
Yeah, I see that starting to happen. You know, I'm in close conversations with the governor's office, and they are doing I'll say a couple of things. I think they're doing a really great job at, you know, trying to lead the state. These are tough, very difficult decisions that have to get made that have, unfortunately, the side effects, as we all know, cause a lot of consternation and frustration, and have caused a pretty big disruption in terms of our local economy. But I think those are decisions that when you talk to public health professionals or healthcare industry leaders or even just workers, nurses and firefighters and police officers and those on the front lines, you know, they know that those decisions are necessary, that we have to continue to adhere to those standards to break the back of the coronavirus, slow the spread, and ultimately start to get the faster that we do that and the more that we adhere to those guidelines, the faster that we can get back to some degree of normalcy. Otherwise, it's going to be this cycle of having to continue to fight down spikes in different areas of the state. So the more that we can do, the faster we get back to normal. I think that the governor's office has been working to do that. And I think, you know, as I said, the decisions are hard, but, you know, I know that she's making them in consultation with those public health officials that have, you know, really spent their life preparing for these sorts of emergencies and know a lot more than either of us about what it's going to take to be effective to get us over this hump. So I think getting back to some degree of normalcy is going to be is something that they're, you know, talking about. Obviously, there's a lot of things that are projected at May 1st, but I think it's going to be a not a instant flip of a switch and a gradual return, cautious return to reopening the economy. And I think that's what is kind of the subject of debate right now, both in at the national level, at the state level, and you know, probably here locally.
Well, Derek, let's just take City Hall, for example. What do you see? What do you see an opening there look like?
Well, I think we're over the last week we've been studying a couple of things. You know, we've gone out to the King Center to take a look at what the King Center will look like. Obviously, we've the inside of it is gutted because we were doing right in the midst of doing a $2 million renovation on the facility. But we're looking at what we could use. Exploring whether we can use that as a long-term testing facility, and had productive conversations with the Center for Family Health about, you know, using that as a long-term testing facility over the next 4 to 6 months. I think that's, according to our public health officials in the county here, that's looking like what it might take to have a off-site long-term testing facility. So exploring that, obviously, we're taking a look at what we need to do for establishing procedures for the reopening of City Hall. You know, we're going to base those on state and federal guidelines. We probably need to make some alterations to customer service windows, interior floor layouts. Obviously, we're going to be getting equipment and materials to sanitize all of City Hall and have sanitation standards put in place, policies and procedures so that our facilities themselves are more able to come back online and be used by the general public as we cautiously reopen some of these facilities and services. Same with the playgrounds and things like that too. So I think it'll be you know, it's one of these areas where we're starting to plan now, starting to engage with other cities, and you know, the Urban Core Mayors Alliance has been working on this. You know, the Michigan Municipal League has been starting to explore what this means for cities. So we're kind of right in the middle of it and trying to figure that out and plan for that while also fighting for more funding for cities like Jackson to help in our local response here and inevitable recovery operations.
You're a big advocate of the COVID-19 action network that we've put together here locally. They've done quite a job, haven't they?
Yeah, and incredible work. And as I've said, that's the kind of shining light on some of my darkest days, is that I can kind of step back from everything and know that this community has really rallied like I've never seen it before. You know, we've organized food delivery, donation contributions and disbursement and delivery from the Boo Center. They've worked on everything all the way to figuring out how they can provide some financial relief for those who struggle with burial costs. So, you know, it's a really all-encompassing, you know, it's all of these nonprofits that work within this social service poverty space that are coming together to figure out how our community responds to this. And it's been very inspirational. So we're actually continuing those conversations. Right now it's around how we can leverage some of the CSBG dollars and CDBG dollars that total about $1.5 million to help people stay in their homes, to help tenants stay in their homes, to help homeowners keep their homes through the tax foreclosure process, to help keep people's water running as we bring some of these bills out of abeyance and send notices out. You know, one of the first things that we can't do when we come back online is start shutting off people's water. So we have to find a way to help with that. So we're devising some of those strategies now. And then, you know, ultimately in the short term here, we got to figure out how when people are discharged from the hospital because they've, you know, gotten through some of the worst of COVID-19, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're still, that they're not communicable. So we have to figure out a way to quarantine and isolate those individuals so that they're not, you know, getting back out into the community and starting to spread it elsewhere. So we're working with the Henry Ford of Regents Health, the Jackson Health Network, and County Health Department to figure out what that looks like, where those operations can be put in place, and how we get those individuals that are quarantined or isolated the food, the services, and amenities that they may need to kind of self-quarantine until they get that first negative test coming back. So it's a, you know, it's kind of a challenge each day to work with the group and figure out, you know, what's coming at us immediately and what we need to respond to slow the spread, save lives right now, and then all the while also figuring out what we're doing in the coming weeks and months to help our city get back to normal, help us recover. And all of this is kind of happening right in the context of developing the city budget, which is going to be a topic of conversation here in the community coming up in May.
A topic of challenge. I see you teamed up with Mayor Shore in Lansing. Tell our listeners about that.
Yeah. So we had we did a quick PSA. It was kind of challenging because we had I have my daughter turning in her oatmeal bowl. we did a short 30-second PSA talking about, you know, coronavirus and what we can all do together to help slow the spread of the disease and continuing to stay home and stay safe. You know, Andy and I are good friends. In fact, we work through the Urban Core Mayors Alliance together. And, you know, as anyone would do, you know, as mayor, I talk to other mayors across the state to figure out some of the strategies that they're employing to help combat the coronavirus and slow the spread of the disease. And, you know, we also kind of counsel on each other because it is, I think, a huge challenge for, you know, any leader or any public official that is working on this and, you know, seeing the impact that it's having on their community and on the families in their community. So we put out a PSA, sent that out. We actually taped it. I taped part of the script, and he taped part of the script in his home, and some really talented people mashed it all together. And it's been interesting doing stuff like that from kind of the confines of your own home and finding time to get a little bit more tech savvy and jump in front of your own phone or computer screen and do interviews, you know, on Zoom or tape something. And it's certainly a lot different than showing up to different events. So you got to kind of adjust for that. But yeah, you know, our intent is to use that announcement and others like it to really reinforce a message that we're not out of the woods yet. We got to continue to hunker down and work together as a community to get through this. And that's the message that we really wanted to convey.
And just quickly, city's still taking applications for the Fifth Ward position.
Yeah, we still are taking applications for the fifth ward position. I think we're looking for someone who can really step in to all of this stuff. They're going to be stepping in at a time, depending on when council actually makes a selection. They're going to be stepping in at a really crucial time when we're talking about the budget, when we're dealing again with the response to this and coronavirus and the recovery aspects of it. So it's a really crucial time for people to take a look at it. I know people's lives have been disrupted, and probably the last thing they're thinking about is applying for a city council vacancy. But it's certainly a time when the city leaders need dedicated, passionate people to step up and serve their city.
Jackson Mayor Derek Dolby's with us this morning on WKHM. Don't slip on that oatmeal.
I'll try not to.
Be careful out there.